You're back at the Magic Hour with Michael McCallum. I'm your host, Michael McCallum. This is an internet podcast broadcast brought to you by the Michigan Business Network and my film company here in Lansing, Michigan, Rebel Pictures. So we are in Blue Owl Coffee after hours in Old Town Lansing. I'm watching traffic go by. It's kind of midday. There's some clouds overhead. That's enough of my meteorologist shtick. But we are in studio, our makeshift remote studio, with Mary Cusack, who's become a very dear friend, but she's a writer, researcher, and academic dean. And we kind of got through the initial appetizer of this interview, of the intro. So let's talk a little bit about getting back to the writing that you did. You did a great write-up for the kind of anti-litter movement that myself and Omar Karim have started, hashtag Pickup Lansing. So what got you into writing? What was the thing that drew you to kind of pursuing a career in that?
Well, I wouldn't say I have a career in it
so much. Oh, I disagree.
It's an avocation, but...
you can agree to disagree.
You know, I think that's interesting. So when someone says, how would you describe yourself, right? In three words or whatever. Writer has always been the one thing that I would say because it's what I want to be. And I will say that I'm one of those more, frustrated writers because I don't give myself the time to actually write what I want to write. That's just ridiculous. And you could have a whole podcast just on people who are not living up to what they really want to be doing. Mm. I have multiple novels open on my computer and, you know, I'm writing and I don't finish anything. And I think, I'll tell you something, there's a lot of psychology in terms of people who are so passionate about something that they do that they're afraid to actually fulfill it, because if you fail, then the one thing that you're most passionate about, you will have failed at and realize that that wasn't you. And I'm still at my age is a little advanced, somewhere past middle age, but I'm still
if
in
we
that.
Go get a drink after this, you're getting carded. Get out of here.
So, you know, I'm still one of those people who struggle with what I'd rather be doing in life versus what I am doing in life. So the one thing that the freelance writing has done has given me the opportunity to continue to write, but I'm also inevitably delaying what I really know I want to be doing. And that's a sad thing. And I, you know, to your audience, don't do that. Don't do what I'm doing. And I'm working on ways of getting into and making more time for, you know, my actual, what I call my fiction writing that I want to get done. And so that part's frustrating because I know that I want to do it. And I know that I'm also anchored with the fear of failing because it's the thing I'm most passionate about. And, you know, I've been told since a very young age that my writing skills were above average. And so that goes back to even, you know, composition in high school and all that. I mean, I know I'm a very adequate writer. And I think that just put on so much fear that I haven't gotten past the idea of failing. Mm. And so I think people struggle with that all the time. And I got to say, and you and I have had conversations about this. This is why it blows my mind that you have been like single-minded about your filmmaking. And I, you know, we took classes at LCC at different times, but yeah, we both took the same film program. And because a lot of my ideas are also film ideas, and I think about scripting. And so I took filmmaking classes in the mid-90s at LCC with Bill Blanchard.
Bill Blanchard, God
my
bless
buddy.
Him.
Oh, I love Bill. But I knew after a few classes that I couldn't pull off what you're doing. I couldn't do the directing. I couldn't, unless I had enough money to be able to pay people to do exactly what I wanted. The part that I knew was not going to work for me was teamwork, unless it was my vision and I'm hiring people to do the story that I want to do. And so I kind of figured that out, that okay, I don't think I can be the filmmaker, but being a writer, I'm always driving the story. I'm the only one driving the story. So if you publish novels, you're the one driving the story. Filmmaking gets to be, you know, a collaborative thing. And this is why, and I think, again, you and I have talked about this years ago.
Yeah.
Why do you not want to work for a major studio? Because you know your vision. You want to see your vision created. And so you've stuck with that. That's admirable. It's so hard to say, I'm not
Thank
willing
you.
To compromise, because working for somebody else wouldn't have worked for you. And, you know, over the years, I've learned that. You have your vision, and you need to make your vision exactly what it has to be. And in terms of writing, it's the same thing. I need to get that done and get it out there. But I think, you know, fear of failure is what holds everybody up from their dreams. That's what holds everybody up from actually pursuing their dreams. And I think it's a scary thing that if this is what I'm most passionate about and I fail, then what else is there in life? However, the reverse of that is, if you never try, then you never knew if you could have succeeded or failed. And that's even sadder. And so I think you have to get to a place in life where you say, on my deathbed, am I going to regret failing, or am I going to regret never trying more? And I think you got to err on the side of, I'm going to regret having failed.
Sure.
But you got to try.
And I think it comes down to what the definition of succeeding and failure is. I think there's something very rewarding about completing something. I was talking with somebody the other day about this, that I just have a different perspective in my own life and career. And I can talk till I'm blue in the face with somebody else about, well, what I think you should do, or especially not unwarranted criticism or advice, but if I'm asked, cause usually we do like the, advice portion of the show at the end of it, but we've jumped the gun here, Mary. I can try to make that make sense to somebody else. But for me, I've had so many things happen in my life, especially when I was younger, that just gave me such thick skin that I really don't, the positive and the negative affect me the same way. Would I like to have everybody like and love and give adulation over something they've seen or have written or took a photo of or acted in? Sure, I would love that. But they're not going to. And at some point, the positive and the negative, they just affect me the same. It's like, oh, that's, you know, I'm not clicking my heels together when something, a film doesn't get into a festival that I paid for. But I don't let it ruin my day either. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of perspective. There's something about completing something. There's something about that collaboration and then being able to move on to the next project. And so it depends on, like, what is the, I think that's a great thing to talk about, is like, what is the succeeding and the failure and the fear of both of those, actually? Mm-hmm. Because then you have the thing that you wrote or created this thing and it was a quote unquote success. Now you have to follow that up. Now what is the whole, like, the downplay of the sophomore album for a lot of bands, that it doesn't live up to the debut, and that becomes a very difficult thing. I've been watching a lot of Bob Fosse films as of late. He created 5 movies. They're all masterpieces except for the very last one, Star 80, with Eric Roberts and yeah. Mariel Hemingway, right? It's not a bad film. It's just, it's nowhere near all that jazz or Lenny or Sweet Charity or Cabaret. It's just, those are on way different levels. So he was bound to fail at some point in the idea that his work's now being compared to his other work. Star 80 on its own compared to some other filmmakers' movies would be their prize possession, mm-hmm. best movie they've ever done. Comparatively, his other work, it doesn't meet up to it. It's like a lot of Francis Ford Coppola. Like, his 70s work is just, The Rainmaker's a good movie. It's mm-hmm. not Apocalypse Now or The Godfather or The Conversation. You know, it's just not going to live up to that. So how do you move past that fear to finish it?
Mm-hmm.
That, I think, is the question that will leave out there lingering, blowing in the wind, like a plastic bag that will be recorded by Wes Bentley in American Beauty.
before you take a break.
Yes. Yes. We're going to take a break here again. Hanging in the ether. This is The Magic Hour with Michael McCallum, Rebel Pictures, Michigan Business Network. And I'll be